Navajo is considered an endangered language, even though it's spoken by more people than any other indigenous language in the U.S. But each year, fewer Navajo children speak it. Laurel Morales from Here Now contributor KJZZ reports on a new effort to preserve and possibly revive it.
From the late 1800s until the 1960s, the federal government forced tens of thousands of Native American children to attend boarding schools. An Army officer who founded the first of these schools summed up the intention with these words, "Kill the Indian, save the man." The teachers cut the children's long hair, took away their traditional clothes, and punished them for speaking their language. Evangeline Parsons Yazzie was one of those children.
We tried so hard not to speak Navajo, but it's so natural, it's like swallowing.
Yazzie, who's 63, remembers when she was in the second grade in 1960.
It was in the wintertime, and our teacher told us we couldn't go outside to play in the snow. And we were so happy about the snow, we wanted to go so bad. All I said was, "Ya de la," which is an expression of frustration. She just grabbed me by the arm and yanked me to the sink, and she grabbed a bar of lava soap.
Yazzie says getting a mouthful of soap was just one form of punishment for speaking Navajo.
You get humiliated, you get put down so long, so it's no longer this wonderful language that I learned that showed me so much about my world. And instead, it became a painful language. And so, because of that, a lot of parents chose not to teach their children the language.
A little more than half of the tribes speak Navajo out of a total 300,000 people. Last summer, Navajo voters said it was okay to let a non-Navajo speaker become tribal president. Many saw the referendum as a turning point for the language and culture. Some young people responded by signing up for Navajo language classes. At Northern Arizona University, several students gather after Navajo class. 20-year-old Cody Johnson says letting someone who doesn't speak Navajo become the nation's president really worries him.
What's the point of having a Navajo Nation government if we're not going to have our own unique identity?
Johnson says the language, even terms of endearment, are a part of Navajo culture and the tribe's ke, or kinship.
Because you don't see that in sort of like the Western cultures. You don't see like a random elder going up to a younger person, calling them my grandson. So there's this huge connection between all the Navajos that's there, which is the language. And we need to retain that bond and that system of ke among one another. And once the language is gone, that S can be gone with it. And who are we as people, you know?
My great-grandmother, she's like, she spoke the language fluently. She was one of the biggest reasons why I chose to learn it now.
Kelsey Willie is a freshman with long, curly hair and braces.
On her deathbed, I couldn't, like, tell her, like, I love you, and yeah. And so it was just like a huge language barrier for me.
Willie says she wants to become a nurse on the reservation. She's determined to learn the language well enough to translate for elders who speak only Navajo. Charlotte Kayani says her grandmother raised her on the reservation with a different philosophy.
My grandma, she never spoke much to me when I was younger, but she used to tell my mom that Navajo was already a dying language, so there wasn't really any point into learning about it.
But when Kayani's uncle, a medicine man, started to share Navajo teachings with her in her mother tongue, she wanted to know more. As Evangeline Parsons Yazzie says, many Navajo people are bringing the language back, but the stigma and the pain associated with it often shout louder than the love of the language. For Here and Now, I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff, Arizona.